Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, August 29, 2022. This morning I will talk about the kingdom of God. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Compassionate and loving Father, all praise and honor, power and glory, justice and mercy are yours, for you refuse to be silent in our world, even as the world screams loudly and repeats each and every day. Forgive our divided hearts and our clouded minds. Do not let us slink away silent when you admonish us to speak boldly in your name. Thank you for the many riches of the world, our health and supportive families. Thank you for inviting us to share in your work in this fallen world. Grant us hearts that love, minds that think, and hands that join in your kingdom work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Matthew 5:13 we read, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." The confession of the Church expressed in the Apostles' Creed and elsewhere is that Jesus Christ is divine. Jesus himself says, "And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." This is John 12:45. Beyond the display of his person as a divine image, Jesus describes the kingdom of God through his numerous parables. Because the name of God is sacred in Jewish tradition and cannot be uttered outside the context of worship, substitutes for the name and image of God, such as the term kingdom of God, abound in Scripture. This terminology is not idle chatter because kingdom talk was considered seditious in the Roman Empire, a charge that led to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus' parables accordingly provide the most vivid images of God in the New Testament. Jesus' parables constitute a genre of their own, defined not by a single literary convention, but by their intent to transport the hearer into a relationship with God himself. Summarizing Dan Otto Villa, Kissinger writes, "Parables are aesthetic objects, that is, carefully organized, self-contained, coherent literary compositions." Villa's definition, like my own, does not limit parables to allegory, simile, similitude, or picture story, as other authors have done. Archibald Hunter classified the parables into four categories: the coming of the kingdom, the grace of the kingdom, the men of the kingdom, and the crisis of the kingdom. This classification framework is interesting because not all of the parables employ the stock phrase, "the kingdom of God is like," yet Hunter sees them clearly as having a kingdom reference. The salt parable cited above falls into Hunter's final category, crisis of the kingdom. Kissinger writes, "Through these parables, Jesus is urging his hearers to discern the signs of the times and hopefully to repent before it is forever too late. He warns them about the grave perils that which wait those who refuse God's invitation into the kingdom." Note how the parable draws listeners in and forces them to make a decision. In the preaching of this parable, it is no longer an historical event or mere metaphor. Citing the work of Ernest Fuchs, Kissinger writes that the parable has an existential dimension and becomes a language event. In the parable, we are confronted with the living image of God and cannot stand idly by without a decision. Robert Funk writes, "The metaphor, like the parable, is incomplete until the hearer is drawn into it as a participant." In 2012, I preached at a luncheon of my seminary colleagues at the PCUSA General Assembly meeting in Pittsburgh, where the denomination endorsed the ordination of homosexuals. I chose this parable and the next one on light for my text. The core of my sermon was, "The admonition to be salt and light is an appeal to concrete witness. Salt is to be tasted, light is to be seen. We understand the words even if the application gives us pause." But the context of this text is equally interesting. This text immediately follows an admonition, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Be glad that you are persecuted. You are in the company of prophets. This is exactly what the Apostle Peter admonished. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. That is 1 Peter 4:16. Following the sermon, nothing was said. Disappointed, I walked out of the meeting that afternoon and drove home early. The denomination decision led my home church and many others to leave the denomination. The question remains, what does it mean to be salt and light in these trying times? Well, it's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.